first of the seven feasts of Israel, and it's known as the Passover. Last time we explained exactly what took place when Israel was being led out of Egypt by Moses, and God gave Moses instructions as to what they should do regarding the 10th plague. And I think all of you were here last Sunday. If not, you pretty well know the story. It's found in the book of Exodus in the 12th chapter. And I mentioned in the beginning of that message that from the fall of man in the garden till the actual killing of the lamb at the Passover, God consistently taught a word picture. And you find this throughout Scripture. And that is that the shedding of blood is necessary for the covering of sin from God's eyes to make man acceptable to a holy God. The shedding of blood is essential in the Old Testament now to the covering of sin. And each recorded instance that I gave you up to the time when you have the Passover lamb, the blood always came from an animal. And as far as we can tell, it was preferably a lamb. This was God's decree, not ours. And the lamb, of course, was an animal that was innocent of sin. Yet death is what the sinner deserved, not what the animal deserved. And so in each case, the innocent animal would die in the place of the guilty sinner. And thus you have what is called a substitute. And you understand that. Following the original Passover in Exodus 12, the Israelites were commanded to remember this night with a continual yearly feast. And that's what we're looking at now. But during that time, as years went by, thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs, up as many as 200,000 or 300,000 lambs a year, were sacrificed to commemorate the Passover. And so, year after year, the Israelites would see the picture of the lamb, which was their substitute. And they would go through the entire story all over again. In other words, had the lamb not died, then death would have visited the firstborn house back in Egypt. And so it took the blood of the lamb on the doorpost to spare those inside the house, and the death angel would pass over them. Now, God is trying again by pictures to reveal a great truth that He wants people to know. And the lesson, I think, should be obvious, although maybe it's not. Sin should be punished. The guilty one deserves to be punished for the sin, not the substitute. But the lamb was given by God's permission, chosen by God, to be a substitute for the one who was guilty of death. So the lamb continues to be pictured in the Old Testament as the substitute. Today I want to look at the prophetic aspect of the Passover. Because it predicted something that would take place in the future, from the time that, of course, you have the first Passover. As time passed by, the Israelites finally get settled into the promised land, and God sends a prophetic message about a special lamb that God will one day send. And this reminds us of something we looked at last week that God did with Abraham and Isaac. The thing I want to once again call to your mind is when Abraham took his son Isaac upon the mountain, God asked them to make a sacrifice, and Abraham answers the question of his son Isaac, "Where is the sacrifice?" And God says, "Isaac, God will supply Himself a sacrifice." Again, Genesis 22:7-13. "And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father, behold, we have wood. Behold, we have fire for the wood. But where is the lamb for burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide Himself a lamb. for a burnt offering. So they both went together. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood on it and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to sacrifice his son. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham, and he said, I'm here. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. Do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, that you have not withheld your son, thine only son. Now this is very important words here. Thine only son from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up. Now remember that the lamb is a substitute for Isaac. Offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. So you have here again that same substitute picture. But I think there's a lesson here that many Jews have failed to grasp and understand. God, as he said to Abraham, will furnish himself a lamb. In this story, God does furnish a lamb. But the fact is, he's trying to teach Abraham, one day I will put my son, my only begotten son, on the altar. And it'll be my son that will truly be sacrificed. And that is the ram hidden in the bushes. That is the one that I will send to be the lamb. I will furnish my own lamb. I will send my son, my only son, just like you, Isaac. And that son will be the lamb. I think many Jewish people have never caught the parallel here and understood exactly what was taking place. No son of Adam could qualify for God's chosen lamb. Why? Because every descendant of Adam is a sinner. There's none righteous, not one, as we talked about this morning. And so therefore, if you're going to have death due to sin, everybody who is born a descendant of Adam is due sin. If you have to have the blood of one who is innocent, we have no innocent descendants of Abraham. God says, I need one that can qualify as a descendant of Adam, who will be pure, who will be sinless. Now, sinners need more than a substitute to cover their sins from God's views. They also needed a substitute who could remove their sins. And there's a big difference between the two. And so as Scripture goes on, God allows us to identify the lamb with his son. We don't change the symbolism. The son would be taking the same role and taking the same place as you have the substitute animal. In a real sense, Christ, the lamb, would finally render useless and needless the death of all the other lambs. So in a sense, he was going to be a substitute for the lambs also. Now, it was the prophet Isaiah that God made his intentions clear to regarding this chosen lamb. With Abraham, you get a hint. With Isaac, you get real clear. Isaiah, you get real clear information. To begin with, this person is going to be called God's servant. The service he's going to render is that of a substitute. And Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. Then Isaiah 52:13. Again, you have the same title given him. 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Now, the Jews were taught that we're referring to the nation Israel in these verses. But I say that makes no sense whatsoever. As you go on into chapter 53, beginning in verse 2, this does not apply to a nation. This applies to a person. For he shall grow up, not the nation, not the people, he shall grow up before him, before God, as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. Now here it is. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off, that means killed, out of the land of the living. The nation of Israel has never been killed, taken out of the land of the living. They still exist. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's saying Israel was stricken for Israel. Israel died for Israel. That makes no sense. For the transgression of my people, that's Israel, was this one stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Israel is not an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, an intercession for the transgressors. All these verses are talking about the prophesied Lamb of God. He bore our grief, that is, he bore the sinner's grief. Israel can't bear the world's grief. They can't bear our iniquities. They can't be made offering for sin. God won't forgive anybody because Israelites and Jews suffer. It doesn't work that way. You know, years pass by, and we have reported that there was a child born where sheep were born. The child was born in the manger. Matthew chapter 1, God again is trying to say, we're looking for a lamb. Starts back there with Abraham. Tells us through Isaiah. Now the story marches on. God will fulfill this prophecy. This is prophecy that has been fulfilled. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Took place like this. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child by the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her mother, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was decided to put her away. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now notice. He shall save his people from their sins. This was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God said, I will furnish my own land. Where are you going to get this land? Well, it turns out that he's going to send what? As he said to Abraham, I'm going to send my only begotten son. It required a virgin birth, and that was prophesied also in the Old Testament. And it would be this one who would save his people from their sins. Just as we read in Isaiah 53. We would find that this person should be called Emmanuel, means God is with us. And so this one must be the Son of God. If we're going to have God sending His only begotten Son, as Abraham did, Isaac, then this would have to be logically God's own Son, who comes down from heaven to earth. How else can you understand this? And it would require of God's Son to take upon Himself a human body, which He never had. For a substitute is going to have what? Blood? If blood is to be shed, He must have some. To have blood, He must have the body. None of which God the Son ever had. The virgin birth gives to God's Son blood and a body. So the Passover lamb had to have these two things. The lamb had to have a body, and the lamb had to have some blood. So Jesus now has been equipped to be a kind of lamb that is needed to be a substitute. If you study the Old Testament, the New Testament begins to unfold the mystery. Now the last prophet that comes on the scene that is given information about this is John the Baptizer. John's a priest, Hebrew priest. Christ is now 30 years old. And John sees him coming near. John 1:29. John, the next day, sees Jesus coming to him and says to those around him, Behold, here comes the Lamb of God. What a strange thing to say about a person. I would never say to anybody, you're a lamb or a Lamb of God, but he says, here he comes. Here comes the Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of the world. That's Isaiah 53. Now, John must have been thinking about the Passover lamb when he made this statement about Christ. He must have been thinking about Isaiah 53:7, which said, He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And that's how John pictured Jesus. How else could Jesus take away the sin of the world? He would have to become a substitute. To become a substitute, he would have to be slain. He would have to be sacrificed, as was the Passover lamb. So in light of what we know about all the lambs that were sacrificed, John was saying, here comes the one that's different. Here comes that lamb that God has sent, that special chosen one, the one destined to die in the place of sinners, the one who can not only blot out and cover up sin, but who can remove sin and make one appear to God as sinless, appear to God as innocent. Once the sins are removed and God sees us, then God sees no sin, because Christ has taken the sin away. And so the blood of Christ is going to accomplish far more than the blood of past sacrificed lambs would ever accomplish. Now the Apostle Paul, who was a very strict Jew, who was finally converted to Christ, became a follower of His, he spoke of Christ as being a fulfillment of the Passover prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The last part of verse 7. Christ, our Passover. Now, Paul understood this Jesus Christ to be a picture of the Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed or put to death on our behalf, for us. Now, I want to draw attention to the last days of Christ, because I hope that you'll find this interesting, because we need to go back to the instructions that Moses was given by God regarding the first Passover. Number one, you pick the lamb that you're going to sacrifice on the 10th day of the month. You pin it up, or at least you isolate it so you can observe it. The 10th day, 11th day, 12th day, 13th day, and 14th day. 5 days you'll watch this lamb to make sure it has no blemish, no spot, nothing wrong with it. You can't find any fault with it. God only wants a perfect sacrifice. Remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and he presented himself as the King of Kings and as the Messiah? And in a real sense, he presented himself to Jerusalem as the Lamb of God. And was in a sense saying, I invite you now to inspect me for 5 days. See if you can find anything wrong with me during this time period. For on the 14th day, God said you are to kill the lamb. Just as prophecy predicted about the original Passover lamb, Jesus Christ fulfills it. He comes in and announces to the people, all right, I am that one that God has promised. And so people have 5 days to see if they can find a spot and a blemish and a fault or a sin in Jesus Christ. Now, he's telling me hard. They tried. They even finally resorted to drumming up false charges against him, which they could not prove. And so they couldn't really find anything wrong with him. They still sent him to Pilate, the Roman governor. He put him on trial. His conclusion, I find no fault with this man. I can't find any blemish in him. The one who betrayed him, Judas, finally admits, I have betrayed innocent blood. I don't know what he told the people, but anyway, he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. I lied. I know of nothing he is guilty. Now, the Christians who came out, of course, the Jewish nation, the first Christians were all Jews who accepted Christ as being the Lamb of God. They all believed that he was without spot, without blemish, without fault. They believed that. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Peter was with him the whole 3.5 years of his ministry. And Peter said, I couldn't find anything wrong with it. I don't know anybody you can spend 3.5 years with, you can find one fault with him. Legitimate, honest fault. We all have sins. But Peter said, no, I couldn't find anything. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. You can't buy forgiveness with that. But you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Here it is now. As a lamb without blemish. A lamb without spot. He goes on and says, who was before foreordained, God picked this lamb out. Even before you have the 5-day inspection of man, God picked this lamb out before the foundation of the world. But he was manifest or revealed to us in these last times. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now notice, who did no sin. Neither was there any guile found in his mouth. Hebrews 9:4. This letter was written to Jewish people who had become Christians. Hebrews 9:4. How much more can the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works? But notice, this blood of Christ, who through his eternal spirit offered himself, how? Without spot, without blemish, without fault. He was offered without spot to God. Now the next illustration is, our observation, is that the lamb was to be killed on the 14th day. A Jewish day ends at 6 o'clock in the evening. Now, to ensure all the lambs would be killed in time before the next day started, and we're talking about lots of lambs now, folks, by the time this Passover goes on down through the ages, you may have, like I said, 200,000 or 300,000 lambs killed on this day. That's a flock of lambs. You can't do that in 5 minutes. And so to ensure that all the lambs would get killed before 6 o'clock in the evening, they start at 9 o'clock in the morning. And they tried to end by 3 o'clock in the evening to ensure that everyone would be back in their homes and have their lambs roasted by 6 o'clock. When was Jesus crucified? At the very moment in the temple the priests were killing the Passover lambs, Jesus was crucified. From 9 to 3, the exact same time. God lays all this out to give the Israelites clear information as to what they ought to understand. There are Paul's instructions at the original Passover that the lamb is to be roasted. Now, that always threw me. But we don't have this pictured in the crucifixion. I didn't think. Now, time tonight doesn't allow me to show you the prophetic meaning of the roasting of the lamb and the eating of the lamb. I'll have to save this for a later message. But what's important to remember this time is that Christ has been designated by God as his chosen lamb. It is the only substitute now that the sinner has take away his sin, to redeem him, and save him from death. There is no blood that can be applied to a person now besides the blood of Christ. That's all that is available. Now, there is a Passover observance ritual. It probably takes 2 or 3 hours for the family to go through. They go through this every year, even today. And this ritual developed down through the ages. We have no explanation of what they did at the first Passover, but they developed a sort of program that they go through in their homes. Certain things they do at certain stages. And when you come to the Lord's Supper, they're going through certain things that by now were established practices and customs to observe when you had the Passover. Now, after Christ died, there are a lot of Jews become Christians. They estimate maybe 1 million by the first century. The Passover ritual changed. And there was something placed in that ritual that is still practiced today that many Jews will say, I don't understand it. I don't know why we do this. For children, it's the most important part of today's Passover practice among Jews. It offers the most excitement. And I'll tell you what it is next time. But it is interesting because it's all about the Passover lamb. You see, the Jews don't have lambs anymore. God said the lamb had to be killed in the temple. The Romans destroyed the temple. They don't have a lamb. How can you have a Passover if you don't have a lamb? That's the centerpiece of the Passover service. No blood and no lamb. How can you have a Passover? The early Christians still practice the Passover in their homes. But they had a replacement for the lamb. I'll tell you about that, the Lord willing, next time. Father, we're thankful this day for the story as it unfolds. May it help us to understand other scriptures that are connected with the lamb. We thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ to this earth as the designated chosen Lamb of God. And by faith we put all the pieces of the puzzle together and it does make sense. And we by faith do believe that Christ is the Passover. And that Christ alone, who has His blood shed for us, is able to cover and forgive and remove our sins and redeem us and save us from death. And that was His whole purpose in coming to this earth. Again, we this night give Thee thanks for Christ and His blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.